Oh, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Get on with it.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck headers.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye bye.
Come on.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live. It's the Arsenal Palace game and there's an awful, awful lot to talk about. First in the box was Nicky Wilson. Then we had Joshua Page. Then Gunner 93, Corey Austin, Thomas from Norway, John Bernstein, Nude Gunner, Mark Stitchbury, No Limit Stunner, Tieno Barry, Ron Rees there, Omaz is there, Don One is there, Thomas McClements is there, Carlito El Guna is there, K-Man 1867, Arsenal, oh jeez, Abdul Farah is there, Data KLBC is there, there's loads of you there. If I haven't got you, I do apologise. I'm very, very sorry. There's a lot to talk about, so we're going to get straight into it tonight. Dom Lloyd's there. Dom Lloyd. Hello, bro. You okay? Darren Clifford says, I just give up. Frank Gunner says, gutted. I'm happy because today I get to pod with John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John. I know it's been a while. I'm sorry, everyone. Thank you for all the messages. Just quickly, to a few people tweeted me and stuff and asked how I was doing. I'm all good. No personal issues or anything. It was just work's been mental. So that's why you haven't seen my face for a while. But I'm back tonight. Oh, I picked a game to come back for, didn't I?
Look, guys, let's get something straight, okay? Today, there's not going to be any holding back. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to have a go at it. If you agree or disagree, that's fine, okay? Nobody thinks they're 100% right on this. We're going to hash this out as far as we see it. I've missed you, pal. I really, really have missed you. Nice to have you back.
I was trying to get on Thursday, but yeah, work wouldn't permit, so I'm here today.
It's crap, isn't it? First shout out of the day, other than the chat box, obviously, are to Paul Price, J. Core, and all the walk and talk guys. Some absolutely fantastic, so just some fantastic photos and images from today's walk and talk event. My hats go off to these guys, okay? You know, they're brave enough. First of all, you know, they get up at stupid o'clock in the morning to go and walk 12 miles. And then you've got people brave enough to talk about their emotions, about their own mental health, and to do something positive for other people. So that is fantastic. So big shout out to all them and to everybody who supported them. Thank you ever so much. And Rudy Rustlos comes in and says, guys, I'm back. Nice. Nice. Thomas from Norway says, so it turns out VAR makes mistakes as well. We're going to talk about that. We really are. Okay, so first of all, John, lineups. Laka starting in the Premier League, first time since injury. Willock not even making the bench. And again, and we're going to talk about it, no Ozil. And there's been a statement as well from Mr. Emery on the Ozil situation. Talk to me.
Most of the lineup was okay. I was surprised Willock didn't even get in the squad. I wasn't massively surprised as it wasn't in it. It's always kind of a little bit funny when you see his name not in there. Xhaka starting again, which that I'm a big Xhaka fan and everyone knows I am, but it's starting to get a little bit ridiculous now because the fans, I think, you know, most of our fan base has turned against him now. No Torreira playing in the defensive midfield role. But it was nice to see Lacazette obviously start and to see him playing with Aubameyang and Pepe. That was really exciting. Little bit surprised Bellerin, maybe not over Chambers at right back, but also good to see Tierney get his first league, you know, proper debut as well. So I was excited going into the game. The Ozil thing is, I mean, I guess we should talk about it now. The Emery's statement on it was, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Sorry, before we go into that, I want to read that there's two donations. I do apologise because the software we use, there's not much, you know, we struggle with this a little bit. So if we miss anybody, I'm sorry. But Michael Hahnemann donates a 10 quid and he says, we shouldn't be having to rely on VAR to win that game from 2-0 up. As much as the call was wrong, performance wasn't good enough, summed up by the attitude of Xhaka. And then the magnificence of Blair Slater. Hope you're all doing well, boys. Thanks as always. Well, thank you ever so much. So, right, that's that. Sorry, I do apologise. John, crack on, because I do apologise for interrupting you. But
that's all right, mate. The Ozil thing is, look, he since he's been at Arsenal, his performance has been up and down. He's been brilliant at times, and he's been completely missing in games. And he's very frustrating because we all know when he's on it, he's arguably the best number 10 in the world. And it's always been a case of trying to fit him into our system and how can we do that and the players around him. And you thought when Pepe came in and it was, okay, we're going to have these three guys up front in Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang. You can put Ozil behind him. Maybe that gets the best out of him and just have a nice solid base behind them and just let those four go and just demolish teams. That hasn't happened. Fair enough. That's the manager's decision. But the fact he's saying that the board and the club are backing him on his decision, I don't know how much I buy into that and how much truth there is in that. I think if one thing is clear, to me at least, of the two people at Arsenal right now, Ozil is probably going to outlast Emery. I do think there is some feeling within the club that Ozil might need to go anyway at some point if they can find a buyer for him. But just not playing him and the way we're playing at the moment and the lack of creativity we have in the team just seems kind of like shooting yourself in the foot. Even if he's just on the bench and you bring him on in a game like today, I really don't know. I'm not saying that our best team is going to have Ozil in it because I don't know what his level is at the moment anymore because he hasn't played for so long. We hardly see him now.
But this is the problem, okay? You know, when he has played, he's done okay. Mm. You know? In my opinion, right? Some people may disagree, but since pre-season, he's played well. To not even give him the opportunity and to have to suffer some of the shit we've got to put up with on the pitch is an absolute joke.
Yeah. Okay?
And, you know, and I just think this statement, I think it's an absolute bottle job. I think it's gutless. I think, you know, if you're going to turn around and say, well, look, you know, he's not my cup of tea, that's fine, okay?
Yeah.
Don't, or you know, with the board are backing me in this, you know, that's fucking gutless in my opinion. And it kind of sums up Emery at the moment with the Arsenal. No ambition on the pitch. And I you know, look, there's two to blame in this.
Mm.
Ozil is not blameless in all this, okay? And I don't think either of them are.
Yeah.
But if you're the manager of Arsenal Football Club, you should be trying to get the best out of everybody. Yeah. I don't think he is. I think he's just cut his ties with it. But when you're looking at what we're putting up on the pitch, well, I'm sorry, Unai, but you're full of fucking shit.
To be fair to Emery, I think, you know, Wenger had clearly had his frustrations with Ozil as well. And you saw the way he managed him was different. It was almost kind of protecting him a little bit and he would stand out there and take one for his player. But whenever the questions were asked about, oh, why has he not travelled to an away game and things like that, or why hasn't he been used, it was kind of ignored. So it's not like this hasn't been happening for a while before Emery was even here. So Ozil is clearly an issue at the club, but it is something that the board, they have to deal with and have to find a solution to it. Not having him in this game isn't the big problem. I mean, it would have been nice to have him available, obviously, but that's not where the real issue lies in this game. Going two goals up at home and then falling behind 2-0. Well,
Let's get straight into it. First 5 minutes, mate, you know, bit of a to and fro in. You saw some really good hustle from Pepe, Chambers, winning a corner from the ball that turned over. And before we know it, he caught a goal. Second time asking for Pepe to put the cross in. He puts a really good corner in. Hence, he comes, gets nowhere near it. Ball comes down. It comes to Xhaka. Xhaka, right nice soft head to Socrates. And Socrates, what a finish. You know, that was a top, top finish, wasn't it?
That was a really, really good goal. I mean, it was helped by some really bad defending from Palace. And if you asked me before the game, you know, oh, how do you think you're going to score in this game? Set piece would have been bottom of the list. Because honestly, you look at the Palace lineup, you look at Tompkins, Ward, Cahill, they're all experienced players. You think, yeah, defensively in the air, they're going to be solid. Our corners aren't necessarily great. But Pepe today, he's still going to take some time for me to convince about his talent and his price tag and everything. But he put some great corners in today, some really, really good deliveries.
and we picked up the second ball, and we did it quite a few times, and you know, we could have scored some more goals from those set pieces, but it's a brilliant finish from Socrates, and it's exactly what the team needed, because although we won Thursday night and you know it was great, and Pepe getting his free kick goals, they were fantastic. There was still kind of this feeling of, oh, it's a bit the same, you know, we're struggling against a, you know, no disrespect to Vitória, but they're not the greatest team in the world, and the Premier League is going to be harder than that game. So it was a nice confidence boost, and obviously then getting the second goal almost, what, like a minute later was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, straight on to that. I mean, I've got to be honest, on the first goal, Xhaka's wherewithal, just popped the head in, just popped the head in into Socrates. He sees in space.
Yeah.
A really good assist.
Okay? Yeah. Just keeping the ball alive. Yeah. Seeing a spare man. It's little things like that won't get noticed. Everyone's going to talk about Xhaka and what happened when he got subbed off, obviously. That's the only thing people are going
to
talk about.
Right, we'll come to that when we come to it. But I think, you know, it's important that we see, but we talk about what we saw. Okay. People may have different opinions, but, you know, it's. You know, you've got to be fair to him. And, you know, he won't get a lot of love today after what's happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought that was great from him. As you say, a minute later, another corner. Fantastic ball in from Pepe. Lacazette gets a little nick onto it. And the commentator was saying, oh, yeah, he's got to finish that. But that ball's coming at Luis at a fair old pace. It's a nice finish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really good finish. And again, it's we've done it a little bit under Emery in that we've tried to do set piece plays and they haven't always come off. But I don't know, Pepe's delivery, just the whip he gets on the ball. He did a lot of front post deliveries today, and Lacazette is strong enough to hold his man off and do those little flick-ons, kind of reminiscent of old Steve Bould and Tony Adams in a way. Yeah. But it's a really, really good flick, just like directed into the back post, and David Luiz pounces on it. And yeah, 2-0, I was kind of in shock, to be honest, because the way we've been playing this season, it hasn't been great. You 2-0 up with 10 minutes gone. I thought, right, Palace are shell shocked now. They're going to be all over the place. This just ripping to pieces, get to half time and say 3-0. And, you know, we can take it easy, nice cruise and think about the next game. But
this is the thing. At this point, there's 9 minutes of the game gone.
Mm.
Two good set pieces, two goals. It was a bit, you know, it was a bit of a shocker, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was really, really surprised. As I said, I didn't think we were going to score from set pieces. I thought the team looked up for it. They were clearly, despite the win on Thursday, they were disappointed with the performance overall.
It's awful. Fucking awful.
You know, some of the players said afterwards, saying, you know, that was not good enough. We can't rely on someone like Pepe, or, you know, it was that case, or Aubameyang, it has been earlier in the season, to dig us out of games. And I just thought, yeah, the team looks full of energy. Palace don't really know how to cope with us. They're really struggling on set pieces. And I thought the amount of time we'd be getting it wide where, you know, they were struggling to deal with Pepe, who's got great feet. I thought Chambers was overlapping really well. Tierney was looking good down that left-hand side. He's obviously going to do it a little bit more on his own because Aubameyang's naturally going to come in, because he was sort of half playing left and half kind of playing up front with Lacazette at times. I thought, yeah, we'll get some more set pieces, get to 3-0 and we should be fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's get on to it. Because after that, we did look, we had our tails up, didn't we? You know, the early part of the game is 10 minutes gone. You've got Tierney with a banging cross for Lacazette. He gets a hold of it, swivels, good shot, Hennessy saves well. You get Aubameyang firing wide from a great long ball from Guendouzi. And it was a fantastic long ball from Guendouzi. It was really, really good to see that. A ball full of ambition. At this point, you know, we looked, it's about 22 minutes gone. We look full of pomp. Guendouzi is looking the part on the ball, isn't he?
Yeah, I think the last couple of games, he's really come into his own. He's been very progressive with the ball. He's always positive with it. If there isn't a ball on, he'll try and carry it himself and get us up the pitch. And it's just like his attitude in general. He really wants to win. And he's not scared of digging in other players and calling them out if they've made a mistake or anything. And yeah, he still made errors in the game, and he's going to because of his age. But he does look like a really exciting prospect. And I think just that last season where he was a little bit hit and miss at times and would, you know, switch off defensively. And he's still guilty of it now. But I think that those bits of his game are slowly starting to fade out a bit more. He's still going to make errors. He's still got a very long way to go. But, yeah, he looks really, really good. And I'm really pleased that we managed to sign him because, I mean, even if he is someone that ends up, you know, going off and moving on to PSG or Madrid or whatever later in his career, the price we got him for is an absolute steal.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, the wank fest over him, I find a bit sickening, to be honest with you. But when
it happens with every player nowadays, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, but it just gets on my tits, okay? But when you look at the positives in his game now, and the way he's improved since even pre-season.
Yeah.
Okay? Even pre-season, he's not trying to buy cheap free kicks and being silly, okay? He's, you know, he's working hard. Yes, he's going to make mistakes, but he's 21 years of age, whatever he is.
Yeah.
At 20 years of age. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, you're still learning. But some of his play on the ball today, and especially when we were looking confident, it was really, really nice to see. You get another corner from Pepe, which caused absolute havoc. You know, it was nice that he looked like he had some self-belief at this point, didn't he?
Yeah, those two goals Thursday night, I think it's not just scoring the goal. I mean, obviously, they were fantastic free kicks, but it's the fact that he comes onto the game and he rescues the game, gets us the 3 points. You know, you saw Aubameyang in the stands watching the game. He's really celebrating. You can see how much there is that the players all want him to do well because they probably see it every day in training. I'm sure he absolutely rinses them and he's probably nutmegging them every day and making them look like complete idiots. So they know he's got the ability to do it. But yeah, today I thought he was really good when he was running the people. He was making them make errors, you know, winning free kicks. But his deliveries from corners was fantastic. And we really haven't had that for such a long time.
No, absolutely. Then we get, mate, 29 minutes into the game. They've broken. Zaha enters the box. He cuts in on Chambers. Mm. It was a hell of a cut.
Yeah.
He goes down. Referee gives a dive and gives Zaha a yellow card. I thought at the time we were lucky. Then VAR comes into it. So my exact things are we lucky? That's my exact notes asking the question. The penalty is given. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. The moment he went down, I thought, oh, that's like blatant penalty. And then when the referee gave a dive and booked him, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I really didn't expect it at all. You know, Zaha will go over for that theatrically to try and make it obvious to the ref. But when I saw it in real time, I thought Chambers had stuck his leg out. And then when you see the VAR review and everything, you can see Chambers, his leg has gone out, and you can see as he does it, he thinks, oh no, this is a mistake, and he's tried to pull it back. Did Zaha make the most out of it? Of course he did. He's going to. Did he try and go over as dramatically as possible? Absolutely. I can see why the referee gave it as a dive at first, just because of the way he goes down, because it doesn't look natural. It looks like he's jumped almost. But then when you look back at VAR, yeah, I think it was the right decision. I do think it was a penalty. He's played for it. You know, he's tried to get Chambers to stick the leg out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't fault Chambers really, because Zaha is, I know some people think he's like useless or whatever, but when you see him like with the ball at his feet and just how he can hold people off and how quick his feet are and changing direction, that's so hard to defend against, which is why I kind of thought Bellerin might have played today, because whoever's playing right back is going to be up against Zaha most likely. And Chambers, as good as he is, and I love Callum Chambers, I do think he's a decent player, he's going to struggle against someone who's got feet like that and at that speed. So, yeah, I did think in the end it was the right decision.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, we saw a bit of a big score on Twitter. If you think Bellerin's going to do any better there, you're joking. That was really good skill from Zaha.
Yeah. I don't know. The thing is, I think that because Bellerin has got that bit more pace, maybe he's going to get out to him earlier and keep him out of the box rather than let him go in. You know what I mean? He's gonna attack the ball a little bit earlier than Chambers is, whereas his natural inclination is to drop off a little bit because he's naturally a centre back.
Yeah, but in that lineup, I mean, you know, they got into the box. There's no way we're stopping that. It was, you know, we were where we were, and actually, okay, you know, it's good play from Zaha. You know, you got to give him credit as well. You know,
oh, he's annoying as fuck, but he's still a good player.
Milk of Magnesia. Who is Milk of Magnesia? Let's have a look at this guy here. Sorry, mate. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, he thinks he's funny, doesn't he? He thinks he's fucking funny, Milk of Magnesia does. I'm not even going to ban you, mate. You're not that funny. You're not that clever. You're just a bit of a dick, so crack on, fella. You're just... Yeah, I don't care. Don't care. So, let's carry on with it. Ceballos shaves the bar. It'd been a little bit of interplay between Chambers and him. And it was a cross-come shot, you know, from Ceballos. A little bit unlucky there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he was a little bit quiet, if I'm honest today. He wasn't affecting the game enough. But that little cameo there just highlighted what he can do. And it's what I'd want him to do more in games. I want him to be a bit more positive with it. I don't know if it's a Spanish thing or something, because you've grown up in that keep the ball, keep the ball, keep the ball, constantly probe, 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 and then you get your shot off or your little move. At the moment, we're not capable of doing that or keeping it for those long spells, I don't think, and trying to find that little gap. So sometimes I would like him to take it on himself to, you know, just do a little 1-2, find himself half a yard, because he's got the ability to finish from range, certainly. But yeah, I thought he was a little bit quiet today. But again, like, not trying to dig out individuals too much, because I don't think anyone was particularly fantastic. You know, people were good in the first half and then dropped off. So I think everyone had dips in their performances today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of those, isn't it? Oh, I tell you what, this guy is like, fucking hell. Okay. He's like the Alex Iwobi of trolls. It's just like, I'm not being funny, okay? This is a car crash trolling. Mate, you're shit. You really are. Oh, you could stay in that box all day. You're entertainment for the guys. Thank you. After we're coming up to the end of this first half, we've fallen off the game. They are far more into the game now. They're looking more confident. They're even edging us on the possession and territory stats. You know, it's like at this point we've lost our mojo and we don't know how to get it back, do we?
Yeah, I thought we sat back a little bit too much when we went two up, sort of 20, 25 minutes into the game. But the way we were breaking when we did get the chance to, I kind of thought, okay, this is comfortable. We seem to be coping with most of the things they're doing. They've only got IU up front. We should be able to deal with anything they put into the box. how wrong was I? And the way we were breaking at speed with Pepe, Aubameyang, Lacazette, you know, Ceballos, Tierney, those players trying to get forward with them, I thought, we'll get a third on the break. That'll be it. Game done, finished. You know, you go 3-0 up in most games, you're going to be fine. So as much as I was disappointed we didn't keep our foot on a little bit, I kind of got it. I understood what was happening in the game and I thought, okay, second half, Palace will probably come out a little bit, you know, on the front foot. We'll do the same thing. We'll catch that third goal and then it should be all done.
Yeah, I mean, you, at the end of the first half, you had a Pepe snapshot from a long ball to Aubameyang. So quickly taken free kick from to Alba, then to Pepe. A bit unlucky. Then you had Leno saving from Van Aanholt. Well, he was given kind of the freedom of the Emirates. Oh, you know, it was just we'd fallen off the game. We'd let them back in it. It was 2-1. And I felt nervous. I felt really nervous. You know, we don't dominate that midfield at all.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know, I'm not singling anybody out here, because it's, you know, it's pointless, because it doesn't matter who you play in there. We don't dominate the midfield.
Yeah.
And that's something that the manager has to address. But if he wants to play counter-attacking football, you know, I don't think he's got the players to do it.
I don't know if he hasn't got the players to do it. I don't think he's selecting the players to do it necessarily. I think it's maybe more of an issue. I do think the fact that you know, Pepe is not going to track back as much, so Van Aanholt and Zaha are going to get in at Chambers a lot. But I did actually think Guendouzi and Xhaka, for the most part, were coming across and helping out and covering that side quite well. And because obviously we all know Zaha is their real danger man and it's going to cause problems. And I did think they were doubling up on him quite nicely. But look, regardless of how good you mark players, they're always going to create chances. But I don't think, other than that penalty in the first half, they didn't really look like they were going to score to me. You had Leno make that one save, but that was it, really. I didn't think they troubled us too much in the back line.
No, well, there you go. That was the first half, guys. Okay. Hello. I'm not having the fucking greatest day, people. I'm not. 384 of you watching right now. I got 71 likes. I've had to put up with Wales losing the rugby. Then I'm going to watch that show to shit, okay? And I've got 72 likes. What the fuck do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're Unai Emery? Just screwing it all up just because that's the way you want to do it? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not going to put up with this crap, guys. I want 160 likes. Toot sweet, please. Because I got to be honest with you, okay? I've been let down by enough people today. My sports teams are just a bag of shit, okay? You know, the only person who's making me smile is Milk and Magnesia because he's so bad. He's so bad, okay? Do you want to be Milk of Magnesia or... do you want to be Socrates at a corner? Because that's fantastic, you know? Look at Sock today. Even Sock cheered me up today. Sock. Socrates. The guy who doesn't often cheer me up, let's be honest, okay? But, you know, don't be like Milton Magnesia. Don't be somebody who your parents are going to be ashamed of and, you know, your girlfriend. Every time you've got with your girlfriend, they're going to be thinking, oh, I'm going to have to really swap you for somebody better. Because you're just not good enough. Be more like Socrates, not like Milka Magnesia, because he's awful. He's terrible. So come on, people. You're 93 now. That's not really good enough, is it? It's not really frigging good enough. Come on, start tapping that like button. Tappy, tappy, let's get going. Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you what, Milka Magnesia is really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Look at him. I'm not being funny. Have you had a tough childhood, mate? you know, are you feeling that bad? I've got the number. I've got some numbers that can help you, yeah? You're just a bit of a dick, aren't you?
I mean, if you're called Milk, that's pretty unfortunate. That's a bad name. Your parents clearly didn't like you very much.
Milk, I simply tell you, Tom Snowy, Milk Mag. Milk Mag. Oh God! I tell you what, he's great. I tell you, he's cheering me right up. Yeah, his mother didn't give him enough hugs. Okay, let's get on with it. Second half. My very first notice: we're looking dodgy in defence. We're giving away possession cheaply. We didn't come out from that dressing room looking to win this game, did we?
No, we didn't look overly confident. And, you know, I expected Palace to have a bit of resurgence in the start of the second half. We've tended to start them a bit slowly. But again, I just thought the way we were breaking and stuff, that we're going to get a goal. We were just going to open them up. But it didn't matter what we did. There was always the final ball wasn't there, or we weren't getting it to the right man at the right time. The final pass wasn't there. And the complete lack of chances we really created in open play was the big problem. And Palace were starting to pen us back in. And they were, you know, Zaha was getting on the ball a lot more. Ayew was doing amazing, I thought, for them. The way he was holding the ball up was really impressive. You know, I did not think he was that strong. He was kind of putting Socrates and Luiz a bit to shame, to be honest. And again, we had that other problem that because we tend to push our fullbacks up so high, the side Tierney's on, because you've got him and Aubameyang down that one wing, that is open a little bit and it's letting them get in down that side. And, you know, they can go to Zaha and then switch the ball and we've got no one covering on that back post. It's just, yeah, it was causing real problems.
Yeah, to be fair to Ayu, I mean, his strength was phenomenal, wasn't it? You know, he really gave a battle to the two centre backs. It was it was kind of just, you know, I was a bit annoyed by it actually. We you know, we didn't put the clamps on him, and you know, it just we allowed him to challenge all the time. Yeah. So let's get on to it, because, you know, he scores very quickly. They break. I can't remember who puts the cross in. Xhaka is not great in the defense, trying to stop the cross.
No.
Kratis and Luis just wandering around, not sure who's where. And to be fair, Ayu is Luis's man at that back post. But nobody has a clue what they're doing. And Ayu basically is a free header to equalise. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it was, who was it now? MacArthur put the ball in. But Xhaka doesn't close him down quick enough. He's got to keep showing him down the line. He manages to dig the cross out, and it's a really good ball into the back stick. And it's good movement from Ayu as well. But the fact that, you know, Luiz just completely ignores him. Tierney's not there because he's higher up the pitch. Luiz has got to see his man, or one of the midfielders, you know, has got to be in there for it. But it's happened to us all season. Jace has now left me. Look, Milk has upset him so much, he's just walked off halfway through the pod. So now I'm just talking to, you know, a load of people on the internet. This chat is pure freedom tonight. It really is. I don't know what's happened to Jason. Has anyone seen Jason? Hello? No, he's just gone. He's had enough. I don't know. So, chat box, I want to ask you a question. That that second goal. Sorry, Jace. Oh, he's back. He's turned his camera off as well. He's gone for a cry.
Sorry, man. Sorry, Jace.
That's all right. No, I was just about to ask the chat box a question.
Yeah.
Who do you put the blame on for the goal? Because obviously the move breaks down and Palace break it up well, and a lot of our players are caught high up the pitch, but is that all on Xhaka because he doesn't stop the cross? Or is it Luiz not picking up his man? Is it both? You know, is it not just those two players? Is it the team failing to get back into shape quick enough?
I think it's the team failing to get back in shape quick enough. And it's something that's haunted us all season. You know, you can laud some players, and then you can, you know, you can victimise others. But as a unit, we do not get back into good shape often enough, okay? There's always somebody sticking out. There's always somebody dropping off. We don't hold our shape. When you're asking the fullbacks to push up so high, okay, you know, the two holding midfielders, as you would describe them, have got to cover back quickly. Well, Guendouzi's all over the place, okay? You know, easier than everywhere. He's like a will-o'-the-wisp. So you've got no defensive discipline from him. Xhaka, you know, he turns as quickly as Milk.
Yeah.
Okay. See what I did there? See what I did?
Someone said you just did an impersonation of the Arsenal defence when you walked off
there. To be fair, whatever that was, I do apologise. But, if you're not going to have, if you want your fullbacks up that high, you've got to have defensive discipline from those two players.
Yeah.
And you're just not doing it. So, no offence. It's not even the player's fault. It's the setup.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's only one person to blame for that. And, you know, you can have a pop of Xhaka all you want, okay? Maybe he should have done better in stopping the cross. But Luis has just let Ayu fly off.
Yeah.
You know, the inside man, you know, Socrates doesn't know who's where.
Yeah.
Doesn't know where the ball, doesn't know whatever's happening. It's a joke all round. So, you know, he's made big statements this week. Oh, we're defensively better. We're this, we're that. Sorry, Unai, you're full of shit. Your lies just don't fucking cut it anymore, mate. You're an absolute joke. Your fucking team does not defend well. This is not the first time we've let a 2-goal lead go this season.
No.
And this cunt never takes responsibility. Sorry, I apologise for that. He's not a cunt. I do apologise for that. I shouldn't have said that, okay? But this dick never takes responsibility. He doesn't take responsibility, and that's what you're seeing on the pitch. You're seeing a team, okay, mirror image, the manager who never takes responsibility. It's a bloody joke. He does nothing about it. He looks to blame anybody else.
Yeah.
He does not work hard enough on the training pitch of this, and he thinks he can get away with this shit. He's a twat. No, sorry, yeah. I shouldn't say that. No, I apologize. I'm not saying that. But, you know, he's going to try to slither away from this again, okay?
Mm.
And the bottom line is, it's not the first time we're caught like this. It's not the first time we're caught like this.
It's the same errors keep happening again and again. The problem is, and I was listening to, I hadn't listened to Ask Blog or any football blog podcast for a while because I'm honestly just so fed up with football. The international break happened. I thought, you know what? I'm going to listen, see what's happening. Checked out Ask Blog. I'm sure everyone knows them. And him and James from Gunner Blog were talking about, and James came up with a really interesting point, said, you see the same errors in every game, but the, which is obviously a huge issue. But the other problem is that you keep seeing different errors as well, whether it's individual ones or errors with the setup or the constant changing of the formations or team selections and things. So it's not just like it's one thing that needs fixing, like, oh, okay, we need to defend better from set pieces, or we need our two central midfielders to be more disciplined. It's so many different things that, like, basic principle things of football that aren't being done correctly at the club right now. And he's been there for, what, like almost a season and a half now? And you would think that when you come into a manager as a football club, yes, okay, they weren't necessarily his players when he's come in. He had a fantastic summer in which he was backed now.
Stop a second. He was never employed as the manager. He was employed as the coach to do the best with what he had.
Yeah.
And he has failed, and failed again and again and again to do that, okay?
Yeah.
And people can make an excuse.
Oh, I'm not making an excuse. There is an element of, if they're not the players you necessarily want, it's going to make it harder.
Yeah, that's fair
to say. But we had a brilliant transfer window in the summer, and it's, you know, he was really backed in that sense, but nothing's improved. And if anything, I actually think from last season, we've kind of got worse. The problem is also you've got to look at the teams that were sort of in and around us, just behind us in the league, and the likes of Leicester, you know, Chelsea were kind of all over the place. Bournemouth have been somewhat more consistent. They've all got better, and that's making it harder. We've got the thankful thing that Tottenham are an absolute shit show at the moment, which is nice because that does cheer you up, obviously. But I don't see what he's done to improve the team in any way. And it's almost like the goals that we do score in games, with the exception of today, I would say, because they were set pieces, a lot of the time it's come down to because we've got someone as good as Aubameyang because Pepe, you know, started firing, or because, like, you know, it's not down to management. It's just down to the fact they are very good players who know how to get those goals and dig us out of games.
But this is the thing, pal. You know, we've not seen any improvement in playing in performance since last season. You know, we were talking about this in the middle of the 22 match unbeaten run. Okay?
Yeah,
we were talking about this in the middle of that. And I remember, you know, the abuse we'd get, or, you know, talking about sacking the manager. Oh, class, you're here.
Yeah,
you know, well, you know, not to say I told you so, but we're still talking about the same crap, you know, 12 months later, and nothing changes, and he cannot seem to see the forest from the trees. If you're telling me, you know, apparently this guy studies tape, you know, day and night, and, you know, detailed dossiers on players and what have you. You know, if you have watched our midfield interaction with our defence this season, we still leave them wide open time and time and time again.
Yeah.
When you're playing the Premier League, Jordan Ayew, okay, he's not my favourite kind of player, but one of the boys who goes to the Swans, he turns around and says he's a very, very good footballer.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's quick, he's sharp, he knows the game. If you're going to be silly, he's going to take advantage of it. And, you know, and here we are once again, okay? So we're 2-2 in the game, okay? And let's get on to it. Let's get on. Unai subs Xhaka.
Yeah.
For Saka. and the G-ring starts, and Xhaka hears it. He's not happy, and I don't blame him. I've got to be honest with you. You know, we've got this thing of victimizing players, but then Xhaka throws the armband to the ground and walks off. He wasn't happy with being substituted anyway.
Yeah.
And then the crowd's reaction is, that's pretty horrific, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously watching it on the TV, you could hear some booing and stuff, but I didn't really, you know, think it was as bad. And then I can't remember who tweeted it, but someone tweeted from the game and they'd filmed it. And the noise is unbelievable. It is like the whole stadium is booing him. Look, I get it. I know people don't like Xhaka. Fair enough. Everyone's allowed their opinion on players. I'm not an Ozil fanboy. You know, that's fine. People didn't like Aboué. People didn't like Ramsey. Players down the years, whatever era it is, there's always those sort of guys. I think blaming every single defeat or anything that's ever wrong in a game on one player is kind of stupid, to be honest. Yes, players can make individual errors, but there is still 10 other players out on the pitch. He walked off slowly because he was pissed that he's being subbed. And I think now he kind of looks at, you know, Emery's come out, not stuck his neck out, but he's kind of defended Xhaka in previous press conferences. But in this game, he takes Xhaka off. I actually thought it was the right decision. I don't think it was a bad decision, and it did actually improve us.
Did it?
But it's kind of like an easy out for Emery now. If a game's going badly, you can take Xhaka off, then you can go, you know, you can look around and go, oh, we know Granit wasn't playing that great or to his level or whatever nice way he wants to say it. And I thought if we change the system up or whatever, we get more out of it. And to be fair, I actually thought we started playing a little bit better and we got more possession and we were a little bit more dominant in their half at least. His reaction, look, throwing the armband on the floor isn't good. Someone said he threw his shirt on the floor, which, again, I don't know if he did or not. If he did, again, that's not good.
To be fair, no, okay?
There is the other side of it. You are going out on the pitch, you're playing, maybe he's not playing to the best of his ability. That's up for debate. That's fair enough. Yes, he was at part of fault for the second goal. I don't think he had necessarily had that bad a game, to be perfectly honest.
He may be partly at fault for the second goal. He gets an assist to the first goal, okay?
Yeah.
I don't think he's played particularly badly. I know the problems we're having, the same problems we've had all fucking season again.
Yeah.
And as much as, look, he should not be throwing the armband on the floor, he should not be telling the fans to fuck off. He is a human being.
Yeah.
He is a human being. And if you want to
blame him, you have to put yourself in his situation of imagine what probably feels like to him 60,000 people booing you. You're going to react like that. I mean, if that was me, I'd probably want to go up to the first bloke and lump him. To be perfectly honest, I'd want to walk off the pitch and lump Emery and go, you've just hung me out to dry in front of the entire stadium.
I've got to be honest with you. Emery's the first guy I'm going for. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. I apologise again. Because that guy's hung him out to dry again.
Yeah.
He's hung him out to dry again, you know? It's pathetic what's happening, okay? People are happy having to go Xhaka. They're not slagging off the guy who's putting him out there as captain. And it's the same old story. And if you've got 60,000 people, okay, what's unique then?
He's donated, said, crap show as usual. Happy Sunday, Jason John. Thanks, unique.
You're a rock star, mate. Thank you, pal. But this is the thing, okay? If you've got 60,000 people booing you, well, no offence, but you can all go fuck yourselves.
Yeah. That's me. No, I don't agree with what he did, and it was stupid to do what he did. And, you know, putting your hand up to your ear to the crowd booing everything.
That was
really stupid. But the thing is, it feels like the entire stadium's booing you. The manager, who's apparently backed you the week before, then subs you off in a game where the team's not playing great. It's not just him. You're going to be like, well, you know what? Well, fuck you, to every single person.
Absolutely.
And also, like, why am I at this football club where everyone hates me and I'm going to be the blame for everything?
It's a bit like the Ozil situation, okay?
Yeah, both people on both sides are wrong.
Yeah.
And if you want to have a dig at Xhaka for his performance or something he's done in the game or say he's not good enough for the club, I think that's fine. And I've always said, not you. It's not that you can't boo a player, But it's this weird balance thing where you have, if you're at the stadium, you have to get behind the team and behind the players and stuff.
Yeah.
And that atmosphere and stuff is kind of, you know, it's going to transfer, you know, transmute into the other players on the pitch. I think the sub was right, and I think it did improve us because Ceballos went a little bit deeper. We got someone more on the ball. We had another attacking player in Saka, and we started to play a bit better, and we started to create a little bit more at least. You know, I don't know. I just think that Emery's at fault for constantly picking him when clearly the crowd are on his back. He doesn't help him in his team selection with the fact that he doesn't necessarily put midfielders around him who are going to struggle.
Sorry. Yeah. Carpenter's in there now. Apparently the booing only started when he started gesturing to the crowd. No, you can clearly hear the jeering before then. Mm. Don't try to play over this now. It's not all his fault, okay? The fans started booing him before when the announcement was made, right? Oh, you can clearly hear that. And yes, he hasn't made this better.
No.
And shame on him for doing that. Sometimes you just have to shut up and get off.
Yeah.
Okay? But, you know, if you get 60,000 people then having a go at you, you know, fucking hell, you know, you're going to react. But again, the one guy in this, the one guy who's not getting the grief is Unai Emery. Well, he's the one who knowingly picked him as captain when he wasn't playing well. Yeah. Keeps on picking him, okay? But oh no, we're not going to blame Unai, are we? We're not going to blame Unai. It's shameful what's happening. Mm. And I'm sorry, okay? Yes, Xhaka is wrong in what he's done there. No getting away from it, okay? Yeah. You know, he'll get fined. He'll deserve it. But I think this is stuff like this where Unai's lost the dressing room.
Yeah, Emery did say after the game he was asked about Xhaka's reaction. He said Xhaka was wrong. We're going to speak to him, decide with the club. We will speak about that, as in if he'll remain captain. I don't know. It's, there's some players who can take that kind of abuse and get on with it, and be honest, I don't think there's many who would. Most players are going to react. There's very few who will just stand and suffer it. And it's not like this is new. This has been going on for a long time with Xhaka, and he gets booed quite a lot anyway. But the volume I heard of it, you know, from the video that someone tweeted out is honestly, it's incredible. But it doesn't excuse what he did afterwards. That was really stupid. It doesn't help. But this
is the thing. I remember seeing the most shameful thing as an Arsenal fan was the Emmanuel Eboué one.
Mm.
Okay, where he's going to be taken off in tears.
Yeah.
And there's these cunts then who'll say, oh, it wasn't me who did it. You fucking did. You know you fucking did, you know?
Yeah. It's
fucking wrong it is, okay? You can boo the performance of the whole team. I got no problem with that. You pay your money, okay? But I remember seeing Aaron Ramsey getting it, okay? Mm-hmm. And Rambo got it to the end of his career, you know? Yeah, he wins his 2 FA Cups and still there's no thanks. Now, you can turn on and say they earn an awful lot of money. And that's fine. They do. But would you put up with that shit?
Yeah. I think it's an interesting thing because it's very easy as a fan, and I've done it as well, to go, you know, oh, well, you're earning this much money a week and whatever. Yeah. And money really doesn't make you happy. And if anything, today of all days is a good day to highlight it, where we've had the walk and talk thing, where you can be the richest man in the world and it doesn't stop depression or things getting to you and stuff. I don't know. I do agree. Archie said in the chat, if you're a paying fan, you've gone to the stadium, then you're entitled to your opinion. And I totally agree. I do think so. I just think there's the way the fans booed at the end of the game, that's fine. I get it, because you're upset with the result and it's a clear message to the manager and the club. Look, we are not happy with this. I just think that you could be annoyed with Xhaka or his performance. That's fine. But try, I don't know. It's hard to do because you're caught up in the moment and everything. And if people around you do it, it's very easy to get caught up in it. But trying to stay away from that and save it for the end of the game, if anything, is the one thing you've got to try and do. It's easy for me to sit here and say, because I've sat here and watched from home. And yeah, I was annoyed as well.
But look, let's be honest. I've called Unai a name tonight, which I shouldn't. Yeah. Okay? That's how it goes. And we get it. We get that can happen. But surely at one point when there's 60,000 of you booing one guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's one of your players.
Yeah.
at that point, if you're not asking yourself, fuck, is this right?
Yeah.
Then I'm sorry, okay? Because I'm seeing people, you know, they're giving Unai a pass. They're giving Ozil a pass, you know, whoever it is and all things, because that's who they like. But that today, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. I'm sorry. It's fucking shameful. It's shameful to do that.
And it's kind of, you know, the more important thing from this game is the fact that we were 2-0 up and we threw it away. And there's the argument about, obviously, the disallowed goal. But the thing that's probably going to come out of it and be in most of the papers, there might be a bit about that, but it'll all be about Xhaka and the crowd's reaction and throwing the armband and the questions to Emery about him and about Ozil and all that sort of stuff. That's what everyone is going to jump on. And it just takes away from, you know, everything else. It's disappointing, but that's the way football is now. It's been like that for a while.
Yeah, it's just sad. Never mind, onwards and upwards, you know, there's nobody coming out of this smelling of roses, and it's not good. Get Chambers fighting over after some good footwork. Guendouzi, good long-range shot saved. You know, we were having a go at them. You get Hennessy making a save from Lacazette near post.
Yeah.
We then started to have a go, didn't we? We really did.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the substitution itself. I think the introduction of Saka, the fact that Aubameyang got to play a bit more alongside Lacazette. We just had the two in midfield. Palace weren't really doing anything in there, particularly at that point in the game. I think we went to like 75-80% possession by that point. It was all us just pressuring them. The only threat they did have was obviously on the break, which they didn't really manage to do. The problem was that we didn't create, you know, like clear chances. You had the lovely little dink in from Guendouzi to Lacazette where, like as you say, Hennessy pulls off the save at the near post and Lacazette shows some great strength. The Chambers one where he's sort of trying to get it out of his feet, does a lovely turn. It's amazing that a centre-back's got that good footwork, but obviously hasn't got the finesse to finish it as he attempts to. But there was no real like penetrative pass or no one quite getting in behind the back line of Palace. It just wasn't there today. And we didn't really create a clear opportunity. And I can't remember that many in the game. Yes, Hennessy had to make some saves, but they weren't like nice moves or anything. It was all a little bit scrappy. And obviously that leads us on to the strangest decision I've ever seen for a disallowed goal in my life.
Well, we'll get to that now, okay. Yeah, Klaassen, that's replaced with Tierney. Thought Tierney had a very good day at the office. I thought, yeah. You know, we're seeing a proper player there, aren't we? You know,
yeah, he's up for a scrap. He's good going forwards. He likes to take on his man and knock it past them. You see, he's got some skill. We did a little, I think he wriggled through two players, you know, tries to get the ball in early. He's obviously got a lot of development to do as well. But yeah, he looks a real, real good prospect. It's no surprise they went that little bit extra on the money for him, to be honest. Really pleased we signed him. I know some people aren't as high on Bellerin as they used to be, but I want to see those two flying down the wings for us at some point, maybe with a different manager in mind, because that will leave us even more open. But that's a really exciting prospect, having to deal with two flying fullbacks like that.
Yeah, the one thing I'm going to say again to people is this. Don't expect us to be any better defensively.
No.
I'm going to say this because those boys, you know, Hector was getting grief for his defensive attributes last season when he got injured, okay? They're going to be high up the pitch. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But now let's get on to it. Okay, so we get a corner. We win the corner on the break. Ball comes out. I'm not sure who nicks it on to. I think it was maybe Chambers who wins it. There's a bit of a melee in the six-yard box. It comes out to Sokratis. Sokratis, for the second time in the game, really good composure and a fantastic finish. And it's 3-2, and we're thinking, whoa, we're getting away with one, aren't we?
Yeah, I was shocked again. Great finish from Sokratis. Again, really good ball in from Pepe for the corner. They really struggled all day to deal with any of his crosses. I thought he was great with his delivery. We got a little bit of luck with the knockdown, the fact it fell to Sokratis. But again, he just takes up a good position. He's got no one around him. He's just waiting for the ball to drop as it comes to him. Great composure, good finish. Hennessy's got no chance whatsoever. And I thought, well, okay, it's late in the game, 3-2. We've had all the ball, all the pressure. that's it. You know, Palace have come back from 2-0 down. They concede late on. It's just, as a player, you're just going to drop then. That's it. You're sunk. You're done. And then we get the going to VAR. At first, honestly, I thought, oh, no, we're going to VAR because they're going to pull it back and say it was a penalty. And then hopefully the referee has the sense to go, well, they don't need a penalty because they scored. And I thought that's all it was. I did not expect what was coming out from the VAR decision.
Let's go into that then, because VAR disallowed the goal for Chambers making a foul on Milivojevic, whatever.
Yeah.
Milivojevic. And my exact notes are here. VAR free kick to Palace. Milivojevic.
Mihailovic.
Mihailovic. Thank you. Mihailovic. Utter bollocks. Fucking shit. We have been fucking cheated by the twat in VAR. Who is the VAR official today, Matt?
The VAR official today is someone I've never heard of. So the VAR official is Jared Gillett, and his assistant is Neil Davies.
Jared Gillett and Neil Davies, you are a pair of cheating fucking cunts. There's no fucking absolute excuse for that. It was a fucking shambles. I don't mind. Hey, we should win this game without having to fucking deal with VAR. But that was an absolutely disgraceful decision from, and you know, the Premier League. No wonder they got no referees at the World Cup. Time and time and time again, these fucking clowns. If you did your job that badly, you'd get sacked.
Yeah.
Absolutely disgraceful.
And this is the issue I've got with VAR. There's nothing wrong with VAR. It's the people who are officiating the VAR. The system itself is fine. There's nothing wrong with the reviews or anything else. Obviously, if you're in the ground, it must be extremely frustrating. I understand that. But it's the people doing it. So all it's human error. It's the same as when you get a referee make a bad decision on the pitch. It's exactly the same thing. And this was always going to be the issue with VAR. So at some point, you either, if it continues and makes bad, you know, decisions like this, because I don't understand how that's, if anything, they've both fallen over each other. There's no foul in that whatsoever. They've both just got their legs tangled trying to win the ball and just collapse. I don't see how, if it's a foul on Chambers, if Chambers has fouled him, then, you know, he's also fouled Chambers at the same time. So I don't know how you can give a free kick to Palace. It's very confusing. So for me, you've got to make a decision over, are they going to be clear and objective enough with VAR, which I don't think they are at the moment, just because our levels of referees is so poor in this country. So then you change it so that VAR only does clear, you know, can be defined exactly by the rules, you know, like things like offside or handballs or whatever. The very clear, obvious things that you can determine, rather than something that is, you know, down to, you know, interpretation or whatever the rules. That's the thing.
No, I'm sorry, John, okay? There's no interpretation about that. There was no foul in that movement.
Mm.
There was absolutely no foul. If you've got three or four different angles to look at that, there is absolutely no foul, okay? And that is just incompetence of the highest order. You saw it with the Saka business against Sheffield United, okay? You know, this is utterly incomprehensible, and it just shows that the incompetence that you're seeing from the man in the middle, and I don't like blaming referees, I really don't, okay? But when you're seeing decisions like that given, it just brings the game into disrepute.
Yeah.
You just kind of think, what the hell is the point? So that's the VAR incident. We're not going to carry on about it anymore because it's just fucking winding me up. You see Hennessy making a really good save from Luis after some good work from Guendouzi driving the ball forward.
Yeah.
Zaha has a shot deflected wide after a Benteke flick on. Palace were looking for the winner, to be fair, more than we were at this point. And then you see the Guendouzi rugby tackle on Zaha, which I really enjoyed.
That, honestly, that little moment, right? I've got no problem with someone doing a professional foul or anything to stop a play. It's sensible. It was, you know, it was the right thing to do as such, even though it's, you know, anti-football or whatever you want to call it. It's just the way he did it, because It's not like he just tried to block him off or like take his feet out to something nice and simple, cynical, you know, like that. It was almost like a neck high tackle. Yeah. And at one point, when I first saw it, until I saw the replay of it again, I thought he's actually just clotheslined him like to the floor. I thought, Jesus Christ, he might get a red card here for just like trying to, you know, stop play instead of doing the typical sensible thing of just grab their shirt, pull them to the floor or whatever. And then you see it back and it's more, you know, like a feeble rugby attempt. But yeah, it kind of summed up the game in that, you know, we did some good, you know, intelligent things, but we did them badly.
I got to be honest. I like Gwyn Doozy, okay, but I actually said, you know, give both sides of him, but that I thought was magnificent. I thought, you know, and to be fair, the Palace boys have gone for him a little bit and it's caused a little bit of a kerfuffle, but well played, Gwyn Doozy. That's the game, okay, that's the game. It's a disappointing result. Yes, we can say we've been cheated, and we have, okay, but it's hardly new. And for the second time this season, we give up a two-goal lead. We are officially closer to the bottom team in the league than we are to the top team in the league. What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I think on the game overall, not ignoring the disallowed goal, I don't think we deserve more than a point today. Honestly, in the way we played, because we really didn't create much from open play. I thought Palace probably had better chances than we did. We were good in the first half for periods, and we were good for the last 10, 15, maybe in the second, but that was it. And again, it's the same thing of we are not playing well for 90 minutes. We're giving up easy goals. We're switching off at the worst times. I think the manager is picking the wrong team a lot of the time. I think that other teams in the league know we've got weaknesses and they're pretty obvious and easy to exploit. So I'm not happy with the way things are going. People know my thoughts on what should happen with the manager. I honestly, I would have seen him gone at the end of last season. My opinion hasn't changed. If anything, it's been reaffirmed. I don't think we're going to get anywhere with him in charge. Even if we got into top four because of, let's be honest, if we get top four, it's not because of us. It's because the other teams in the league are doing so badly. The ones who we would expect to be there necessarily. If you think it's bad now, imagine us next season playing Champions League football against some of the best teams in Europe with him in charge. And then add to that, that after you, maybe we've got a drubbing from Bayern Munich 10-0 or whatever, who are not the Bayern Munich of old either. Then you have to go into a league game after getting beaten like that. I do not want to see that. I do not want to see that at all. So,
well, this is the thing. I'm not sure we can, you know, I mean, you're right in what you're saying. Okay. If you're top four because of Tottenham's poor form, United's poor form, etc. I don't think we're nailed on for Champions League anyway. You know, you've seen Emery, you've seen sort of Chelsea start badly and recover.
Yeah.
You know, the Spuds, well, you know,
at some point they're going to turn it around.
They're going to turn it around. I don't think you can trust this guy to get you there. I don't know. And I see the – look, I've got my opinion. We all know what it is, okay? But I see the defence of him as – I don't understand what people are trying to make out here. You know, when he defended himself earlier on this week, it was all bollocks. Every word out of his mouth was utter bollocks. When you present what we see on the pitch and compare it to the words he used – it was the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
This guy just talks utter bollocks and does not translate what his ambition for the club to play football is onto the pitch. He can't.
And the other thing is if you don't get Champions League again, you lose that money, you fall behind on that. And also players like Lacazette and that then gets to the point of, do I really want to stay here? Do I really want to play for this football club anymore? You know, 3 years in the Europa League? Is that what I joined Arsenal for? I'm not sure it is. So
But I think he's lost the dressing room. I've got to be honest with you. You look at it today, UK. Those guys are looking at his captain being booed off the pitch.
Mm.
Everybody knows there's been an issue. Everybody knows there's been an issue for months. And yet he doesn't change anything. He doesn't try to turn it around. He doesn't try to do anything. He just continues and thinks it's going to get better when he's not changing the tactical setup or the personnel. So what's he expecting?
Yeah. I really don't understand what he's trying to achieve with the players. I don't know what his style of football is. I don't know. There's so many questions over him, and I don't think. I just hope that Sanyehi and Vinay, you know, have got the cojones, to borrow Troy Deeney's favourite phrase, to pull the trigger on whether he's got to be removed, whether it's now, you know, come out, say something, because it's not going to get better. Let's be honest, I can't see it getting better.
No, I don't think he's. I don't. You know, he's lost the dressing room, as far as I can see, and that's my opinion.
Yeah.
Nothing I know is a fact. I just look at it. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we the midfield issue is massive. You know, for as much as you see Ceballos being neat and tidy and lovely skills, he's not really having a positive impact on the game. No. You know, we're not structured to defend well. And our attacking prowess is, well, unique. We're going to answer, well, we'll have a good answer on that. But, you know, we're not great in attack. You look, 2 set-piece goals today, which was good to see. It was good to see. And, you know, fair play to Luis and to Socrates. 2 great finishes. 2 great finishes. So that was nice to see. But I just look at him, and I just, everything about him stinks to me at the moment.
Yeah,
he looks for excuses. Anybody barring himself, he'll blame. And you know, I just look at it and I just think, fuck's sake, this is ridiculous now. And to be honest with you, you know, people say, you know, he's Gazidis' his choice. No, Raul got, you know, changed Gazidis' his mind on Arteta. And so, you know, we're going to see if Edu and Raul have got the cojones, as you say.
Yeah.
You know, because this is going nowhere quickly. If you look at our results, who we actually beaten this season, you know, we've only beaten bang average sides.
Yeah.
You know, we've not beaten anybody of any quality. And these the big games are going to come up quickly at the moment. They're going to come thick and fast. And if you have a bad December, look out.
Well, you've got, just to look back, last 4 league games, we've got 2 points from Palace, Man United, Bournemouth and Sheffield United. 2 points.
It's a joke, isn't it? It's an absolute joke. It's a joke. It's some... Have we got a spammer? You spammer?
No, he's talking about referees.
Ah, right, okay. Dan Cart, don't spam it, bro. Don't spam it. We know. Okay, so let's get on some questions then, because I'm really at that point at the moment. I've had a gutsful of watching this crap, and I've had a gutsful of people making excuses for the nonsense we're seeing, because it's just the most abject and ambitious football I've ever seen. Do you know what? We remind me of Wimbledon.
Wimbledon had a clear identity. We haven't got that.
Okay, first question, pal. John Bernstein asks, okay, if you could get rid of any 2, what would you pick? VAR, Emery, Xhaka, or Ozil?
Wow. Before today, I would have instantly said Ozil and Emery. I would now change it to Emery and Xhaka, and that's not necessarily indictment on Xhaka as a player. I think it's just because the fans have turned on him so much. It doesn't matter what he does. He could go and score a hat-trick in every single game. They just don't want him there anymore.
Yeah,
I think he's done at the club, to be honest. And if there's a chance to move in January, they'd be sensible to do so. More for his own sake than anything. I'm sure he's probably speaking to his agent right now about it. So they would be the 2 for me straight away.
John, to answer your question from me, I'd get rid of Emery twice. okay, twice. And and both times the door would hit his ass on the way out. Michael Hahnemann, thank you for the donation, we got that. Carlito Elguna asks, do you realistically think Emery will last till January?
Maybe. It honestly depends on who's available, who they can get in. I think I saw quoted today it cost them $6 million to get rid of Emery, which in football terms isn't that much money. It depends, though, on how much. Just depends on how much the other manager, whoever it is, costs.
So let's get something straight here now. That's £6 million at the moment, okay? If we're not playing Ozil, we've got no sell-on value for him. He's cost us money there. The Xhaka situation, okay, that's becoming untenable. He's going to cost money there. How long can we afford to keep him in place? Because the damage has been done.
Yeah.
That's the big question. Because I think if I'm Raul, I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Hey, look, I would have got rid of him already, but, it's whether the club will pull the trigger on that. And they've got a easy option in the keep, put Freddie in charge till the end of the season, I guess is the easy out if they want to save money.
Maybe so. Thomas from Norway asks, is this the earliest game time Emery has taken Xhaka off on? I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. As far as I know, anyway. I not off the top of my head, I wouldn't know, but I'm pretty sure it's the earliest he's brought him off in a game.
This is going to get an interesting one now because I've seen a lot of tweets about this one. So Stuart Smith asks, okay, would you take Mourinho?
Oh, this is going to annoy everyone. Yes, I would. Absolutely, I would. I know people don't like him. People hate him because of the way he spoke to Wenger whilst he was in charge at the club and everything else. And people think he's finished as a manager and whatever. I don't think he is. I think he's a good manager. He won't take shit from anyone. He knows all the best agents. He's got great contacts with them. He knows how to set a team up to defend properly. And he knows how to win things. People say he plays boring football. Look, I'm an Inter Milan fan and I watch them win the Champions League. It's amazing. But watching Eto'o and people like that playing at fullback is horrible. It's not nice to watch. But he won it because he knew he was against a better Barcelona team and they had to mark, players like Messi and stuff out of the game. And it was all on Diego Milito to score goals. He knows how to win games. Go back and watch his Chelsea sides. They were not boring to watch. They broke the 100-point record for a reason. They used to score on average like 3 goals a game. They weren't boring. But yeah, I'd take Mourinho. He's not like top of my list of managers who I take. But yeah, I'd take him. And honestly, a little bit of me, I'd take him, one, to annoy Chris, because I know it really But two, I'd take him as well, because I've genuinely seen some Arsenal fans, genuinely, who said that if Mourinho was the coach of Arsenal, they would stop supporting the club. I don't think you understand how much I despised Wenger at the end of his career at Arsenal. Really hated watching us play football, but I still support the club. If you're that petty that you would not support Arsenal anymore if Mourinho's manager, then you can fuck off because you're not a proper Arsenal fan. You support the club regardless. But yes, I would take Mourinho.
I've got to be honest, I'd take Mourinho just to boil people's piss, okay? I really would, okay? I'm seeing people defending Okay, I'm calling him a pragmatic manager who sets up for differently for each team or have you. No pragmatic manager lets in 51 goals in a league season.
No.
At least with Arsene, you kind of knew, hey, he's going to rock out with his cock out. He's going to have a goal. He wants to score goals. Even though he's failing to, you knew there's an ethos behind it.
Jace, I'd take fucking Sam Allardyce right now. At least his teams can defend properly. Christ, honestly.
In all honesty, okay. Who was the guy? What was the England comedy? Oh, who's the big guy?
What, Steve McLaren?
No. The guy, the actor, big lad, used to be on the Royal Family.
Oh, Ricky Tomlinson.
Yeah. What was the thing?
Oh, I know what you mean. Something England manager. Yeah.
I'd take it.
Mike Bassett, there you go.
Mike Bassett, England manager, that was it. Mike Bassett for the Arsenal. John Bernstein asks, will Socrates and Luis start every game now until Christmas? I fucking hope not, John.
I think they're his nailed-on first-choice centre-back partnership for the Premier League. I don't know about, you know, cup games and stuff like that, but that's his first-choice pairing. It's pretty obvious.
So, you know, it's pretty obvious this guy does not pick on form.
No.
He does not pick his teams on form at all. All the bullshit we heard at the beginning is just lies and crap, and I'm just sick of it. Really, yeah. I do apologize for calling that word earlier on, though. I really do. I was bang out of order there. K-Man 1867 asks, is the Emery system of attack just to send it wide for a cross into the box? Seems a bit like a Stokey strategy.
He does like to try and... It's weird because he doesn't generally play with wingers, but he likes the fullback to overlap and try and do the pullback thing. I'm not sure he necessarily wants the players to cross. But yeah, trying to get in behind defences, that's what he likes to do. I don't think it necessarily... The problem is we're not actually doing that in games particularly well. And I think why people are so excited about getting Tierney in the team and having Bellerin back is that they will actually do that and get beyond the wingers and do the whole pullback thing. Because that's where a lot of our goals came from last season, was doing that kind of strategy. I don't think you can just have one plan, though. You know,
we're certainly not trying to plow through the middle of it. We're not. It's everything's out wide. It's a fair point. I'll answer this one. Shawnee Goodwin asks, is Martinez pushing Leno for the number one spot? Seems quicker to release the ball, or is it just me? Shawnee, I think it genuinely is just the opposition we play midweek. They're slower. They haven't got the press like the Premier League teams do. Mm. I think, you know, Martinez has done brilliantly, and if he was to come into the team, I wouldn't mourn.
Yeah. I really wouldn't.
But I think there's a lot of people been a bit harsh on Leno here. And it's like with the penalty business. You've got to remember, these are Premier League quality penalty takers they're up against. Okay? He was never a great penalty saver to begin with. You know, you're expected to score from a penalty, so that's just the way it is. But yeah. Martinez has done well, hasn't he?
Yeah. No, he's looked really good. And it's nice to even be able to ask that question about him pushing for the first place spot. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Will Clark asks, what do we do on Wednesday? Go for it or play the kids?
Because Wednesday is the Carabao Cup game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Against Liverpool. Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know what I'd do there. It feels like Emery needs a win. And if you could win at Anfield with the way Liverpool are playing at the moment, that buys you a lot of time and a lot of goodwill. If I'm him, I'm putting my strongest team out because you need it. I don't think that's what he'll do, though. I think he'll go with a mixture. He'll go somewhere between Europa League and Premier League, I think.
He's not putting his strongest team out.
Okay? No.
There's no way in hell. He's going to play the kids with a little bit of backbone of first teamers. Because if he goes up there with his first team and gets beaten by them and they play the kids, his position's untenable.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, then it really does go for him.
Yeah.
They're not going to play a full team.
No.
There's no way he can do that.
Yeah.
It's actually better for him to lose that game with sort of half and half than go with a full strength team. Lossless asks, can we beat this Liverpool team if we're using the power boost of a new manager bounce following Freddie's appointment tomorrow?
I tell you what, it's the new manager bounce. It's been proven. It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a real thing. So, yeah, maybe that's the trick. That's what we've got to do.
Unique79 asks, is Unai Emery's number truly up now?
I think if he'd lost today, it was. Honestly, from 2-0 up, I think if we'd gone on to lose that, then I think he'd be done.
I've got to be honest with you. I think, you know, I don't know how Edu and Raul and Vinay are looking at this. Because if you're looking at the last number of results, as you say, okay, it's fucking awful. Right? But then you look at it, so we got Liverpool away, then we got Wolves home, the Vitória game then, Leicester City away, Southampton home, Frankfurt, Norwich away, and then Brighton taking us into December. Okay. If so, of the 3-6, is it 9, 12, 15 points on show there. If he's not picking up 15 points, 15 points are available there. If he's not picking up 12 points, he's in real trouble, isn't he?
Oh, big time, especially when you consider one of those teams in that run is Southampton. Who, yeah. Like, don't get me wrong, Leicester are playing some fantastic football at the minute. And if you want to watch a team play some sexy football, go watch Leicester, because yeah, they really are doing their stuff at the moment. But Southampton are an absolute shit show right now. So, you've got to get 3 points there. The Leicester away game is going to be really tough. Really tough.
That could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Because yeah, if you lose 3-0 there, whatever, you know, his number is, his goose is well and truly cooked. Well, as far as I'm concerned, anyway. Unique Sunderland also asks, Unai Emery said he sees Torreira playing further up the pitch. What do you think of this ridiculous statement?
If he meant it in the way that he means we are pushing high up and doing a high press and he's trying to win the, you know, ball high up the pitch, then fine. But that's not what he means. He's spoken about him as a box-to-box. He's spoken about his ability to get into the box and score goals. I don't doubt that Torreira can do that, but he's played his career as a DM. We signed him as a DM. That's where he shone for that season at Sampdoria, or season and a half, I should say. Play him as a DM. Just let him play his position. I don't understand what the fuck the man is talking about.
I've seen some utter bollocks about this. I've got to be honest. Look at his passing range. Look at his composure on the ball further up the pitch. It's not great. It's not fucking great. It's not. You know, it's not. You look at Wednesday night's game. I think there's a real negativity in the squad now. And even if he was trying to win the ball high up the park, it's all people do, just play it over him. He's not exactly the biggest guy, is he?
Yeah, no.
Over the top in his past. So, Unique 79 and asks who replaces Unai then, guys. And Thomas from Norway asks, John, would you take Pochettino?
Yes, I take Pochettino. Again, it would wind up Chris, which is great.
Yeah, but that's always good.
That's always a plus in my book. I think Pochettino is a really good manager, and yeah, Spurs are shit in the bed at the moment. But if you compare budgets in the league and what he has done with that Spurs team, and I hate to fucking say it, but he's done really fucking well with that Spurs team, considering they are spending shit all money. And I mean, really, really no money at all. And their wages are very low. But yeah, wouldn't it be amazing to get Pochettino in, like turn the club around, win the league, and then you could have Pochettino with a Premier League trophy and you could have Sol come on the pitch and give it to him just to really rub it into the Spurs fans. That'd be great. But in terms of possible replacements, look, if Pochettino was available, yes, I'd take him. Mourinho I would take. I'd also, you know, Allegri is out there at the moment. There's the guy who was at Monaco whose name I cannot remember, who did very well when they won the league. Yeah, Jardim, I think, is another good candidate. You know, there's a lot of managers that you could go and get. Brendan Rodgers, who I don't think would leave Leicester now because he's on a very exciting project, but he's someone I would have looked at. I know people don't like him particularly, but I do think he's a good manager.
He played some great football at the Swans.
You know, I think he did very well at Liverpool and he's unlucky to not win the league, to be fair. I mean, he was hilarious that he didn't win it, but, you know.
Look, let's be honest. This, all you want now is somebody to come in and get you Champions League football, okay? Now, as has been said in the chat box, Rafa Benitez is out there, right? Get him in. His teams know how to defend. You know, he can steady the ship, right? That's an easy win. If you're going long-term, that needs a little bit more homework.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I hear some ridiculous things of, oh, we love Freddie and we can get Thierry and we can get Patrick Vieira. There's only going to be one guy in this. There's only going to be one guy at the head of it, okay? You're not going to be able to fill a team with the likes of a coaching team with the likes of those people. There's going to be one guy at the head of it and then a good coaching staff. How they do that, I don't know.
Yeah, there's people talking about the guy at Ajax. You know, he's obviously done an amazing job. He had the luxury of an incredible crop of players coming through at the same time. But the way they went through that Champions League campaign is unbelievable. Absolutely. You know, so that's still a lot down to the manager. Look, there's a lot of people out there and there's a lot of options. I think, I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if they just did go short term and say, look, Freddie, you take over for now till the summer. Yes, we're going to bring someone in. They are going to be made and made clearly aware that you will still be involved at the club when they come in and take over as manager, you know, in whatever capacity whether he's going to be a number two or whatever. So he's still involved because I think he's important and he clearly has really helped a lot of the young kids who he's coaching at under 21 have come into the first team now. And they've all spoken about how helpful he's been. I do think he's a positive for the club. But that for me is the easy answer for now until you find the right person to come in and sort it out.
I think it's a big ask of him.
Yeah, it is a big ask, but I don't think he's going to do worse than what Emery is right now. And if anything, it's going to give the fans and some of the players a better feel-good vibe, I think. He's going to be clearer in his instructions because when you see interviews with ex-players and they talk about Emery's interviews and what he's trying to achieve in games, so many ex-pros, whether they're English or foreign or whatever, who might have a little bit better understanding of the language barrier that he does suffer with, they all say, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't understand what he's trying to achieve in games. And if there's that many ex-professional footballers saying it, then clearly the ones at the club are probably going to be struggling as well.
He's full of shit, let's be honest. You know, what's coming out of his mouth and what we're seeing on the pitch bear no resemblance to each other. And we've seen it before last season. We've seen him blame people when, you know, when the fault's at his own feet. So that's the way it is. I'm talking of fault at feet. I got 155 likes. You're 25 short, chat box. You really are Unai Emery. You really are Xhaka throwing the captain's armband on the pitch. You really are just letting me down so frigging badly. I'd have put up with Wales losing to South Africa this morning. That put me in a bad enough mood, okay? Then watching this crap, it's just... I don't know why I put up with it. I don't know why I do it. 156 now, well done. It's not 180, is it? Come on, tappy, tappy, let's get going. Your parents are going to be so ashamed of you. You're sitting there, if your wife's in the room, she's probably thinking about leaving you right now. She's probably thinking of going to see Jan Vertonghen because he can take care of what Eriksen can't. Bloody wrong. So it's been an eventful day, pal. You know, can you quite believe what we've seen there today? 2-goal lead. Frittered away. Yes, we were cheated by VAR. I ain't got no problem in saying that, but it's just a continuation of a club lacking a direction and a decent strategy to achieve any ambition.
Yeah, it was a tough watch today, and it has been all season. And honestly, I don't until the manager changes or something said by the club, I don't know what it is, but I don't see things changing. It's going to be a tough old season if he's there for the rest of it, that's for sure. But we will be here after every game regardless, Moni.
They're not giving me 180 likes. I'm up to 159. That's pathetic. I guess it's wrong. So get liking, people. Pathetic. And watching the crap we got to put up, it's unbelievable. I must say, I was bang out of order in calling Emery that name earlier on. I apologise again. That was way out of line of me. Shouldn't have done that, so I'm sorry. Massive thank you to Michael Hahnemann, International Man of Mystery, Blair Slater, and our favourite, Unique 79, for your donations. That's magic of you. Thank you so much. Massive shout out again to all the guys on Walk and Talk. You were fantastic. Some great images there. Ed Loud was in the chat box earlier on. Well done, Ed. His feet are going to be stinging now. I hope Grandad enjoyed. Jake, Paul Price, well played, guys. Thank you ever so much. And everybody who's done anything with that. The Liverpool game, Wednesday's show, will be That London guy, Carl. That Mercy guy, Ellis Mel. And that ginger guy, Josh Dawe. So they'll be there after the Carabao Cup game. God knows who's on the podcast this week. I don't think Danny's done it. Danny's not feeling very well at the moment. So get better soon, Dan. Hope you feel okay. I hope you feel better. It's been a tough day at the office, guys.
Oh, last plug very quickly.
Go.
Ellis Mel is doing the Movember,
yeah.
So if you go on the Burkamp Wonderland on our Twitter, there's some stuff about that. Also on our Facebook page. So you can join in and take pictures of yourself and look how stupid you all look, but raising money for a good cause.
If we raise 500 quid, we're all going to do this at tops off.
Oh, fucking hell. No one needs to see that. Do not donate or do it. Just do it through another medium. So because no one needs to see that.
Oops. Guys, no matter how bad the Arsenal are, you guys are fantastic. Everybody in the chat box, thanks, chat box, thank you ever so much. even, who is the guy, Milk Mag? Oh, we don't have to get him, do we? We don't have to get him. Yeah, chat box, you're magnificent. Thank you ever so much. To those of you listening on any other platform, whether it be iTunes, Acast, I don't care. Thank you. You're brilliant. We love your support and we really appreciate it. Thank you ever so much. Tell you what we haven't had for a while, guys, is a 5-star iTunes rating. No, we haven't. So if you could give us a couple of 5-star iTunes ratings, we'd really appreciate it. So come on, tappy, let's get going. Guys, take care. Keep it Arsenal. Let's hope for better on Wednesday night. John, it's good to pod with you again, pal.
It's nice to be back, mate. It's good to be back.
Fantastic. Hey, we'll sort out the lineups from the Wolves game during the week. That's it. Let's switch us off, is it? Let's switch us shit off. And I'm hungry now. What are you on for tea, pal?
I don't know yet. I could fancy a takeaway.
What are you going for? Indian, Chinese?
Oh, I fancy a Chinese, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Now, down the palace, down the Crystal Palace for nice Chinese. Let's switch the shit off. Take care, guys. All the best. Good night. Keep it Arsenal.
As soon as I scored that goal, I was fucking livid. Splendid business.